As to proceed with From the Margins, I'm speaking with Kaylee from Campus Action on Food. We are now only a few days away. Today is July the 24th, and we're a few days away from the grand opening of the Edible Campus Project on July 28th. So let's get right into that. It's a lot of stuff that needs to be, like, first explain what it is. So first of all, what is Campus Action on Food?
Campus Action on Food is a coalition of students and community members working to make the food on Dal campus accessible and ethical and self-determined by the students, as opposed to the current corporate model of food production that's on campus.
And how about the Edible Campus Project? First of all, what is the project?
Well, the Edible Campus Project started because we realized how disconnected students were from the sources of their food, and especially in such an urban setting, people are so disconnected from the source of their food. So we kind of wanted to foster a reconnection between people and the food that they eat. So the Edible Campus Project is a garden that's going on the Dalhousie campus, and this specific garden model is a container garden model, which takes plastic containers and is made practically entirely from recycled materials and grows edible food crops in these gardens. We chose this model because they can be placed on concrete spaces on campus, which was important to us for many reasons. And it's also the type of thing that is really accessible to students. It's affordable, and it's the type of thing that can be done at home, and so it really can create the means by which students can grow their own food.
Originally, the Edible Campus Project involved a lot more space, but now it's down to what is being called a pilot. So obviously something went from the original idea to where we are today. So you want to talk a bit about some of the hurdles along the way?
Well, when we first came up with this idea, we were thinking, where can we improve our campus? How can we make it more about the students and about growing food? What's a good place that we can reach a lot of people? So we decided that we wanted to put these gardens around the Killam Library. There's a really vast open area that's very sunny, and it's all concrete and gravel and not very functional at all. So we had great intentions to reclaim the space for students and for growing food and for green space, as opposed to the desolate area that it continues to be. So we thought, this is great. Dalhousie is going to be so proud of us. We're trying to improve our campus and really become part of the university, become involved. We presented this idea to them just to get their permission to go ahead about improving our campus and engaging students. But it turned out that that place was too public for a student-led initiative, so we were denied the use of that space. Of course, we didn't give up. After many meetings and emails with the administration, they said, okay, you guys can go forth with this project as long as it occurs behind DeMille House. For those of you not so familiar with the Dal campus, that is a space where there already exists a community garden. Furthermore, it's a space that isn't a high traffic area by any means for students in their day-to-day life. We're not okay with this for a couple reasons. It really compromised the intention of the project, which was to grow food on concrete spaces and in a high traffic area, because one of our major intentions was to reconnect students with the source of their food and educate them. And furthermore, there was already a garden there, and it was shady, and it wasn't really adequate for a project. So we continued to push and to discuss with the administration how we could perhaps have the space that we originally had wanted. At this point, for them, they tried to turn the conversation away from the space issue and brought up issues such as rodents and students peeing on the gardens and other issues that hadn't really been present at the beginning. These were issues that have not been problems for other gardens on campus or in the city or in most gardens ever. So then we had to deal with some insurance liabilities that they brought up as another issue, another barrier. They made us write up a legal document and then proceeded to tell us that it wasn't in the appropriate legal format, which I was not surprised, considering most of us are undergraduate students in other disciplines besides law. The liability issues were in regards to eating the food. We finally got the project approved. It's a very, very small space next to the Student Union building. We're happy that it's a public location so that we can educate students. However, it is small and furthermore, it's on grass. Our idea was to have a new unconventional edible green space, and now we're just putting bins on top of grass. And so we thought we were all ready to go, but it turned out that given that we only had $2 million of insurance, that was not adequate for if we wanted to eat the food.
The amount she's referring to is the amount of coverage, not the actual cost of the insurance.
So the latest battle, this has been trying to be able to eat the food we grow, which is pretty important to us.
Yeah.
And that finally got resolved by upping our insurance to $5 million.
Now, this is kind of, I'm sure anybody listening find it rather absurd, the idea of a garden where you might not be able to eat the food. The whole idea that there can be an issue from fresh vegetables growing in the garden, there is no issue, really. No other community garden in the whole HRM has had to deal with this issue. Am I right on that? Is that true, that this is kind of an anomaly, the situation you've gone through?
It absolutely is. I wanted to explore this issue because I obviously want the people who eat our food to be safe, and I wanted this project to happen. The HRM has been very supportive of gardens on their land this season in particular. So I phoned up their coordinator to ask these questions. The questions I asked her were, do you allow people who grow food on your land to eat this food? Second question I asked was, have you ever had a problem with rats? Now, to the first question, she laughed. Actually, to both questions, her answer was a chuckle. She laughed, said, are you serious? And I said, oh yes, I'm just trying to sort out liability issues with the Dalhousie administration. And she was unable to help me because she really didn't comprehend why we would be unable to eat the food and that it was really a non-issue, especially considering the fact that we're using container gardens.
I really want to explore that in a bit more detail. Can you think of, or do you know of any reasons why the university had reservations or has reservations about the idea of eating food or the idea of the garden itself in the space that was being proposed?
Well, it was a very public space, and I think that it seems the administration likes to have absolute control over what happens on their premise. Furthermore, CAF does not believe in the corporate model of food distribution that's currently happening at Dal, and we have been actively fighting this all year. So the fact that we were putting the power that comes along with having food and having food that's accessible and non-corporate, the fact that we were giving students this ability probably scared them a little because they have very good relationships with these corporate food service providers. And there's a lot of money there, but we were trying to be more self-determinant in our food and in our food systems, and I don't think that they think too highly of us being able to self-determine our food.
Do you think that in any way that the food contracts on campus had anything to do with any reservations the university might have had about the garden?
I can't be certain. However, there are exclusivity contracts, and they are something that Campus Action on Food opposes. And really, I think something they were concerned about is how we were using our food. It's one thing to grow raw produce, but that is only a step away from serving whole meals, which is something that we believe should be done by students for students in a way that's accessible and meets the needs of students. So I think the fact that we are starting to self-determine our own food and distributing food to students for no cost, I think that really scares them, considering they have these contracts that bring in a lot of money from these corporations and for these corporations. So our project was just was undermining that exclusive control that the university and the corporations have right now on us meeting our basic need of food.
So reflecting on your experience as a student, you know, how does this what's happening with this garden project contrasts with what is available on campus right now.
I have experience as a student who's on a pretty tight budget, and I have lived in residence, so I've eaten the food that Aramark provides in residence, as well as eaten the food that Sodexo serves in the Student Union building. And I'm also a vegetarian, and I have a good friend who is celiac, so she cannot eat anything really wheat or gluten-y, and both of us have been found the food to be very, very inaccessible in that it is very expensive. It also doesn't really meet either of our dietary needs. I mean, I believe that these corporate food service providers are trying their best to source more food locally than they have in the past, because this is becoming a more mainstream issue. But I truly believe that while this corporate model of exclusive control over the food remains, it will remain inaccessible to many students and not meet their personal needs, because that's just not within the best interest of the companies doing it.
Fundamentally, this Edible Campus project is about, from what you've described and the stuff I've read about it, it's really more broadly about space on campus, mm-hmm. and how space is used, trying to turn concrete spaces into mm-hmm. living sort of interactive spaces where students can actually get some use out of it.
In many conversations with facilities management and with the administration, they were very reserved about students taking any sort of responsibility or fostering any connection or making any change. And I find that quite saddening and alarming, because what we are trying to do is reclaim space for students and just foster community and foster learning and bring people together. And it seems like those are not things that we should be able to do without their prior explicit approval. Something else that's come up has been that any signage that we put up with our garden has to be pre-approved, and that we've been told in conversation that we really can't say anything too controversial, and certainly nothing negative about our struggle. Which is too bad, because this is a story that we'd like to share, because we want to engage people in critically analyzing their university and the structure of it, and how the space and their money is being used. Our signage is being censored, the space we're using has been limited, and I think all of that is really disappointing and confusing to me. We just need to get any sign that we make be approved. The same with any sort of brochure or educational information that we hand out, they want to pre-approve that as well. I wonder if there is the authority to do that, just because, I mean, before I got to university, I always thought it was going to be a place where you'd be able to freely explore any sort of idea or topic and have free debate, and especially just tell your story.
Your opinion on that seems to have changed.
Oh, it is. It's definitely
through this
changed.
Experience. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, how long you've spent on this. How many hours do you think have put into this project?
Several hundred. It's been a really long haul, and especially, like I was saying, we had to draft up legal documents. Furthermore, we've had to spend lots of time meeting and deciding how to go forward with this. And the project really has evolved from this idea of just reconnecting students with the source of their food and us growing food for things like food servings. It's really evolved to this critical analysis of how space is used on campus and how, like, the mechanisms of control within the administration on campus. We've spent, unfortunately, more time dealing with that than actually gardening and then actually teaching people. Luckily, we have our grand opening coming up, and we are going to be able to involve lots of people and have lots of workshops.
Just putting this in context, mm-hmm. if the original idea was for a lot more garden space, that basically you would have been able to grow enough food to have done more with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it's so much smaller that how much food can you really grow from it?
Well, in our first year, in this inaugural year, we were never going to have really, really high crop yields because we were just learning and we've had lots of lessons. But we have a lot of buckets. We have about 35 buckets that we did start, because back in February, we started a lot of seedlings because we were unaware that there was going to be such a long process of getting this approved. So we have about 35 buckets those are not all going to fit on the space that they've provided us, and we don't know what we're going to do with the extra buckets, but unfortunately this strip of space they have given us is so small. I would say it's about 3 meters by 15 meters.
Right.
So it's just a very, very small plot of space that we've been granted permission to use.
So you mentioned that the number of hours CAF has put into this whole project up till now. How many hours would it have taken to have just done the project if there was no bureaucracy?
Much, much less. It would have been much less time consuming and a lot more fun, because we would have accomplished a lot more of our goals, such as involving community members and hosting workshops and hosting discussions and gardening sessions and really teaching students and teaching community members how they can grow their own food and how they can operate outside of the corporate model of food production and basically reclaim responsibility for their food. Growing food is still a time-consuming and energy-consumptive process. Luckily, this container garden model doesn't require as much maintenance as a plot of farmland would. Unfortunately, that aspect of our project has really suffered because we've been so busy fighting this administrative battle that it doesn't
grow
really
anything.
Seem...
It's unproductive time, so to speak. Mm-hmm. All the time up to now has basically been on that, mm-hmm. except for the time you said went into setting up these 35 buckets, which mm-hmm. probably wasn't very much.
No.
But really, like, so that all that those hundreds of hours were spent on this back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And do you hope that through this, like, once this garden actually starts, that it will actually expand? Like, it'll be bigger next year and mm-hmm. so on?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is, we hope to get many, many more students and community members involved, and we hope to expand to other unused spaces on campus, because when I look around on campus, I see so many areas that could potentially be used for student initiatives and be used for food production. Why not grow food on campus? It's really important. It has many social and environmental benefits, and for a school that has a College of Sustainability and is claims to be very ecologically friendly, it's absolutely bizarre to me that they've blocked this project, which has many positive environmental and social benefits. We do hope that they will realize that and allow us to expand.
So do you have any advice for any other students out there in trying to initiate other projects that are similar regarding use of space on campus, about what they might want to do or things to watch out for? Anything you'd like to suggest?
I think I'll have to reflect on what we've learned and how to do it differently, because we started out really innocent, I think. So I would just say be prepared. Dealing with the administration will be long and drawn out and frustrating. I don't think it should be that way, though. And I think that if the administration's disdain for student projects continues, that we really need to consider other methods and perhaps just claiming our campus for ourselves without fighting these basically meaningless battles over legal documents and stuff. I think there's a lot of potential for students to just take the campus back in their own hands and reclaim the space for themselves.
Now you have your grand opening coming up, July 28th. So what's the plan for that?
Well, at 6 p.m. we're inviting all students and community members to join us, and we will have placed our buckets in their new home next to the Student Union building, and we will be doing some gardening. So we'll be harvesting some food that we have for a salad from our edible campus, and we'll be hosting some workshops on various topics. So how to build a container garden, for one, how to vermicompost, so compost with worms, for another, and other workshops such as seed bomb making. We'll also be having a corn boil and some bands playing some music. So it promises to be a celebration and be a lot of fun.